That's your jam. Woo! That's your jam. Hey, if it is your first time here with us, I just want to tell you that I love you. If this is your first time, I only want to say that to all the first time people. I'm just kidding. I love all of you guys. I got agape love for you. And you're about to understand a little bit more of agape love, hopefully, here in just a moment. Hey, if you were here with us a couple weeks ago, we started this sermon series off called Agape Love. Agape Love. And we, all the girls are like thinking, ooh, we're talking about love. But we're not talking about love in that way. And all the boys are saying, whew, we're not talking about love. Thank the Lord. Because you're too young. Can I get an amen? Amen. 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 A to the flipping men. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying these things. Hey, so a couple weeks ago, we had the harvest party? 2 weeks? I feel like 5 weeks ago, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. This has gone by a while. But a couple weeks ago, who all went to the harvest party? Raise your hand if you dressed up in a costume. Woo! Woo! No, you didn't. All right. And then last week, we had Rachel Heppen, which is our intern here, our college intern. She spoke last week. Does anybody remember what she said? I like how I quiz you guys. In case you're wondering, I quiz you guys every week. No. She said three things. I'm going to see if I want you to remember it. What? God what? Close? Very close. God sees you. He knows you, and he loves you. Gosh, I'm excited. You guys, man, that's excellent. That is excellent. And so a while before that, questions afterwards. Thank you, sir, ma'am. Listen, sorry. So a couple weeks before that, we started the series off, and we talked about God's love. Man, I gave you, like I told you, I had a dirty little secret that I love romantic comedies. I love rom-coms. And we talked about like the highs and the lows of the stories of every single movie. There's always like this big tragedy. And then there's like this full circle that is something, these star-crossed lovers come back together every time. That something big happens and then all of a sudden they come back, they break up and then they come back together at the very end. And so today we're continuing that series. Can I be honest with you for a moment? Is that okay? Guys, I'm afraid to preach this message right now. I am. There's no secrets. There's no secrets that I have with you right now. But guys, there's been something that's just burning on the inside of me recently. And this isn't a message that I'm preaching specifically to you today. This is a message that I'm preaching to myself. This is a message that I'm preaching, hopefully, to every single person in this room because I feel like nobody is exempt from this. If you want to grab your Bibles underneath of your chairs, we're going to be going to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be going to the book of Nehemiah tonight. And I believe in your Bible, it is on page 342, in case you can't get there. Page 342. Hey, listen, so... guys, God has been speaking to me a lot within these last few months about this specific issue. It's been not like normally when God speaks to me, I feel like he's saying, hey, this is a word for somebody. This is like God is downloading some information or like an image into my mind for somebody else. And this right here was downloaded to me for me. And it's so good. It's so good. And so let's just begin to pray because, Lord, I need it. I need your help. God, right now, in this moment, please help me speak. Lord, let my mouth be quiet and let your mouth just come. Let the ears of every single person in this room right now open. Let the hearts of every single person in this room open. Let them be attentive. Let them just listen to what your Holy Spirit is guiding them to. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, We're going to be starting out in the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, who's the son of Hakaliah, however you say that. And it's in, in case you're wondering how to say that, it's in chapter 1, verse 1. Hakaliah. I don't begin to pronounce, to know how to pronounce some of these words. But I want to tell you really quickly, kind of like set the scene for you guys really quickly in the book of Nehemiah. Right now, there has been his Jewish brothers have been in captivity, if you will, or they've just been recently destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar II. You guys remember King Nebuchadnezzar? He's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kind of die guy, yeah. So this is the second. And so these God's people, God's chosen people, these people that are like his special ones, they are right now rebuilding their city. They are rebuilding the city. They're rebuilding the temple, God's holy place. For a while, they were out somewhere else, and they were not worshiping. They were worshiping other idols. They were not following God, and they kind of just separating themselves from God in this moment. And so right now, in this moment, Nehemiah, God is going to begin to speak to Nehemiah in a great way through a couple of his Jewish brothers. And so these people are in this other city, and we'll get to that in a second, and they are rebuilding this temple. They are rebuilding the city. And more importantly, what we're focusing on today is that they're rebuilding a wall. And now a wall was not just like this little six-foot fence that, you know, Trump is, I'm just kidding, you just said that, no, sorry. This is not like some six-foot privacy fence that you have in your backyard, right? This is a wall. This is a wall that's fortifying a city, that is keeping a city safe from outside attacks. All right? This is nothing Trump related. Just get that out of your mind. And I just now realized that when these words are coming out of my mouth. It's fantastic. So I'm not talking a wall today because of Trump. So everybody get those giggles out and then we can move on. All right. Fantastic. All right. He's your president. Respect him. Awesome. But listen, so we're going to start out with this character, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a working man. He had what I would say, besides the king, one of the most important jobs in the city. He was the king's cupbearer. And in case you didn't know what a cupbearer was, a cupbearer's responsibility is to taste the wine, to taste the drink of the choice of drink at that time for their parties. Anything that the king would be drinking, he would drink prior so that he make sure that it wasn't poisonous. So if Nehemiah died, obviously the king would not drink that. So this was an important job. And really, a cupbearer had to have some really importance to him. He was this man who the king trusted. He was like the king's first guy. He was the second in command, pretty much. I mean, and Nehemiah at this point lived a baller lifestyle, right? I mean, he was pretty much second in command over this kingdom, and he lived in this palace right next to the king. I mean, the brother had nice clothes. He had all the new Jordans coming out, like pre-ordered and delivered to the front doorsteps of the palace, right? And he wore all the gold and silk robing of this time. And the place he lived at in this moment was just, I mean, he lived in the palace with the king. I mean, this was marvelous structures made out of gold and just all of this cherished wood and silver and ivory and everything like that. He lived a comfortable lifestyle. And so we're going to pick up where our story begins in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakali. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. So one of my brothers came from certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem, the exile of the Jews in Jerusalem, like I told you about prior. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. Now get this, verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, Nehemiah saying this, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I know. Pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants. Pray before you day and night for the people. We are your servants. I want to draw attention to verse 4 again. Right now, Nehemiah heard that the wall had been destroyed, and there was something inside of Nehemiah right now in this moment that struck him with so much grief, that struck him with so much hurt for his brothers, his fellow Jewish brothers, that his immediate reaction was to drop to his knees and he just began to mourn. He just began to cry. He began to cry out to God and praying for God, say, God, why? He fasted for days. And his prayer ended up like this. He said, God, right now in your moment, let your eyes be upon these people. Let your ears be attentive to their cry. But even more so, it goes on right now in this moment to say, God, forgive me of the sins that I have committed and forgive my brothers for the sins that they have committed as well. And we see that this is really important going forward. You see, right now, and what we're going to be focusing our time on and what I told you that has just been grieving me so much recently where I feel like God has been pushing me. You know how God speaks to you and he's saying, Aaron, it's time to go a little deeper with me. It's time to understand my heart a little bit more. And this is it. He's beginning to explain to me the difference between concern for other people, concern for the lost, concern for people in trouble, the difference between that and myself anguishing for other people, for my heart to be burdened for other people, because there's a difference here. I actually know the difference. If you can put it up on the screen, concern, I defined it as a couple of different things right here. Concern is this: regarding something as important or interesting to do. Or another thing, an interest to involve oneself. An interest to involve oneself. And in this moment, secondly, anguish. This is what I want you guys to get this evening. Anguish. Severe mental or physical pain or suffering. To be extremely distressed about something that causes action. That's the key right there. That causes action. You see, Nehemiah in this moment, when he heard that his brothers, the wall had fallen, and his brothers, his Jewish brothers at this point, were open to attacks. Open to the attacks of Babylon, open to the attacks of wild beasts, open to everything. They were vulnerable in this moment. And Nehemiah, in this moment, was so anguished with the heart of the Father towards his brothers. He wasn't concerned. He wasn't sitting back and saying, oh, man, that sucks. Stink. I'll pray for you, brother. And then went about his day. You see, there's a difference between concern and anguish. Anguish caused Nehemiah to action. Anguish caused Nehemiah to drop down on his knees and begin to pray and fast and cry out to God and saying, God, why are you letting all of this happen? And he's saying to God, he's saying, God, let your eyes be upon these people. Let your ears be attentive to these people. And God, forgive me of my sins and forgive all of my brothers of their sins as well. Guys, there's a difference between concern and an anguish. You see, I realize, and what God has been speaking to me recently is, I realize that God has been dealing in my heart that I've been concerned too much. And when I hear of different people's problems, when I hear of the world saying, oh, there's a hurricane in Haiti, or there's Islamic shooting, 20 people died. You know my initial reaction? Can I be vulnerable? Can I be honest? It doesn't drive me to drop down on my knees and cry out to God. It doesn't. And I'm telling you, God is calling me and he's calling you right now in this moment to transition from a mindset of being concerned to transition to a mindset of being anguished. That there's a difference between these two. And if you guys would just open up your hearts right now in this moment and open up your minds in this moment, because this is something I've been dealing with and I've realized that it's creeped into my lives, in my life, in subtle ways. We're so inundated. We're so just saturated with every single story. You flip through Facebook and there's like 20 tragedies that I can read in 5 thumb swipes, right? There's so much. And what it does is I've realized it's desensitized me to tragedy. It's desensitized me to actual hurt. Where I've stopped caring. And it's not like I'm blatantly doing this, right? But God is speaking to me and she's saying, Aaron, you don't care. Aaron, you don't care in this moment. You don't care about my people. You don't care about the lost. Aaron, you don't care about the people who are down at the square right now who are probably sinning, worshiping other idols. You don't care. And if I want to be known as one man in this life, I want to be known that I'm burdened for a people. That I am burdened for a people that God created and God is trying to restore to him. And if I am a man that is so desensitized to the hurt of other people in this world, then I am missing out on the heart of God. Guys, we're talking about love here. This is the greatest amount of love. This is the love that was shown to you, that Jesus Christ died on the cross. This is the serious love that I'm talking about. This is the agape love. And I've missed it. And if I would be honest with myself, and I'm telling you, if many of you in this room would be honest with yourself, I think you would agree with me. I don't want to be in the camp of people sitting back and saying, oh, that sucks. I'll pray for you, brother. And it causes me to no action. It causes me to nothing. It causes me to do nothing. I want to be a man who anguishes for the lost. I want to be a man who anguishes for the people who are going against the will of God. I want to drop to my knees. I want to pray. I want to fast. I want to be that man. But there's been a disconnect. Guys, like I said, I'm speaking to myself today, and I know this is kind of a heavier message more than I preach regularly, but it's been on my heart. Guys, the biggest thing that I think that has been wrong with the 21st century church, with us, or even Christians today, so-called Jesus lovers, the number one thing that is plaguing us is apathetic concern. Apathetic concern, I'll explain. Apathetic is this word for just being lazy. Where you're hurt, when people's hurt, people's pain is not driving you to do anything. Apathetic Christianity is not the kingdom. Apathetic Christianity, if you call yourself a lover of Jesus and that doesn't provoke you to change, how can you call yourself a lover of Jesus at all, Aaron? I'm speaking to myself. I really am. And I hope you're listening because I know that God can pull on your heartstrings just as much as he's been pulling on mine. You see the difference. Concern leads to nothing. It leads to no actions. And it leads to nothing. It's worthless. And I think too often we live in a culture we live in our own bubble. We're safe in our own bubble, just like Nehemiah was. He lived in the palace. He had everything he ever wanted. He had a comfy job. He had the finest clothing, but he stepped out in this moment. And if you go on to read more in Nehemiah, he began to rebuild this wall in a timing that was only from God. He rebuilt this wall in like 52 days. And normally it would take years, 10 years, I think the name is. Don't count me on that. But I'm serious, 52 days he did it in. You know why? Because he was burdened and he was anguished for these people. And God came alongside of him. He gave him the power. He gave him everything that he needed in this moment. I want to show you a video. Today I'm not taking credit for my sermon. I stole part of my sermon today from a guy named David Wilkerson, who's a guy who started Teen Challenge, if you guys are familiar with that. He's a guy who I've looked up to for a while, and something about this message, and this is a clip from his message, that just caused me to go down on my knees and evaluate my life. Go ahead and play the clip.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see the music taking over the house of God. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. An obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful, acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow, agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish. You find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? Now folks, look at me. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion, not just some great sudden burst of concern, and then let it die. He said, no, I broke down, and I wept, and I mourned, and I fasted. And then I began to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish, no weeping, not a word of prayer. It's all ruin. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land? Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion? Blind to lukewarmness? Blind to the mixture that's creeping in? That's all the devil wants to do, is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you. Is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that you, the biggest interest you. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin, it drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God. I know now. Oh my God, do I know it. Until I'm in agony, until I have been anguished over it, and all our projects, all our ministries, everything we do, where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not hearing and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing your heart, His heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. The Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let Him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's somebody to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I am not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. This one will be happy. But Lord, true joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy. I don't care how much money, I don't care what kind of new house there is. Absolutely nothing physical can give you joy. It's only what is accomplished by the Holy Spirit when you obey Him and take on His heart. Build the walls around your family. Build the walls around your own heart. Make you strong and impregnable against the enemy. God, that's what we desire.